and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show. Glad to have you with me. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I hope it is blue skies wherever you are today. Man, the humidity around here has been crazy. Nonetheless, cooler weather is on the way. I want to talk to you about, well, a larger thematic issue here. Bertolt Brecht was a German playwright, poet. He had to flee the Nazis. He grew up in the Weimar Republic, fled the Nazis. He came to the United States, but was put on a blacklist by the House Un-American Committee because he was very sympathetic to communism and the Soviets. He moved back to East Berlin after World War II. And in later life, it appears that he finally realized that communism wasn't what he thought it was. He wrote a poem called The Solution. It's very famous because of its ending. And I want to read you his poem. After the uprising of the 17th June, the secretary of the Writers' Union had leaflets distributed in the Stalin Ali stating that the people had forfeited the confidence of the government and could win it back only by redoubled efforts. Would it not be easier in that case for the government to dissolve the people and elect another? This has become a rallying cry over years for people who realize that their governments and the elite hate them. The government would prefer to dissolve the people and elect another as opposed to the people dissolving the government and electing another. A buddy of mine reminded me of this today with regards to a story out of Sarasota County, Florida. The Sarasota County School Board is sick and tired of hearing citizen complaints, so it banned criticism of individual board members during meetings. At a meeting last week, Vice Chairwoman Jane Goodwin, standing in for Chairwoman Shirley Brown, who lost control of the meeting, directed police to remove citizens who criticized specific elected officials during the public comment period, according to the Sarasota Herald Tribune. This is not McCurdy's comedy club, Goodwin told the Herald Tribune. This is a professional board meeting. It has to be tightened up in terms of what people are allowed to say. It's Ben Montgomery writing at Axios. This is not a good look. The board, according to one man, single-handedly activated and motivated every single mom, dad, and voter in the county based on their actions. This isn't just the Sarasota School Board. This is happening around the country in school boards, and it is not, contrary to what a lot of people in the media would have you believe, it's not actually just a bunch of conservatives protesting. This is actually across the board. It's liberal parents, conservative parents. I was elected to a city council. Worst job I ever had. Part-time job, full-time work, barely any pay, and miserable. You know, the only thing worse than clients, I was a lawyer and I hated the clients and needed to leave law because I didn't like dealing with clients, and voters will come up to you in the grocery store when they forgot to roll their trash can down and demand that you send the trash truck back by their house, you a member of the city council, because they were too lazy or forgetful to roll their trash can down. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. I'm somewhat flippant here. It was an honor to get elected. I didn't really want to get elected. No one else wanted to run. No one ran against me. Had someone else run, I would have dropped out, but nobody did. So I was there. I was there for 3 years, 3.5 years of a 4-year term. I had to leave early because I got a job in radio and I couldn't be on radio and on city council at the same time. And so I left, and I was glad to leave. I gave up a part-time job for a full-time gig on radio this is now the longest job I've had. But while I was there, there was public comment time, and the public could comment before the city council met, And you said they're your council meeting. You could get out at midnight if a bunch of people showed up. And I was always consistently opposed to shutting down or regulating public comment time. There were always, everyone had 3 minutes. You could say what you wanted for 3 minutes. And some members of council wanted to reduce it to 2 minutes or a minute, 30 seconds or a minute. Some wanted to get rid of it altogether. Some wanted to put it at the end. And I was perfectly fine with leaving it as it was, 3 minutes, unlimited, come as you are. And if you wanted to berate us, berate us. And sometimes I was singled out. It's never fun. Now, I typically have my laptop there, and I was working during public comment because, honestly, it's public comment time. If you really want me to listen to you, you know how to reach out to me. I'm publicly accessible. Most of this was just performance and stunt. But it was their right, and I think we had to take it. Even if I wanted to ignore them, they still got to be able to speak, and it was streamed live on TV, all their insults at us. What's happening now, though, is that school boards around the country who have gone woke, who are pushing critical theory, who are being called out by not just conservative parents, and this is the thing that's getting missed by so many people, it's not just conservative parents. The media is trying to dismiss it, and the school boards are showing themselves to be very heavy-handed. This comes at a time that there are more and more efforts to go to homeschooling, to private schools. The amount of people supporting school choice is on the rise. And the media is just oblivious to it. The media does not seem to care. And they're going to be made to care on this issue. They're going to be made to care for a couple of reasons. Number one, the media and the Democrats who don't like this are going to have a reckoning with nonpartisan school board races around the country when conservatives sweep into office. If you're interested in doing that, I want you to stick around for the next hour of the show because I'm actually going to explain to you the general parameters for getting yourself elected if you want to run for the school board. I used to do this for a living. More importantly, school boards themselves are discrediting themselves, but it's not just school boards either. It's other governmental entities. They're discrediting themselves with the people. And they're showing their utter contempt for the people. We see this in the media with the unvaccinated. The number of people in the media and in the press who in government, in politics, in the bureaucracy, who refuse to even entertain the idea that someone who got COVID doesn't need both rounds of the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine is absurd. In fact, Dr. Fauci on television didn't have an answer for why he wanted everybody to get them. If you've had COVID, you may only need one shot. In fact, in Germany, in Israel, and I think Great Britain, if you've previously had COVID, they tell you only take one shot. I've got a friend who took the first shot and had a miserable reaction to it because they'd previously had COVID. And that kind of is the norm, that if you haven't had COVID, the second round of the shot can make you kind of sick. The first round, if you've had COVID, typically makes you sick. And the government doesn't want to talk to you about it. And they want to bully you into getting the vaccine. They don't want to try to incentivize you getting it. They want to bully you into getting it. And the media piles on every day. In the last hour, I talked about Nicki Minaj going after Joy Reid for attacking Nicki Minaj for spreading disinformation about the vaccine. I mean, I think Nicki Minaj isn't that bright of a person, but Joy Reid coming after her, Joy Reid is an idiot. The government would prefer to dissolve the people and elect another. We are on the verge of civil destruction in this country, disruption, decay. When the media blasts small business owners who protest because they want to reopen their businesses and claims that if they get COVID, they need to not be put on a ventilator, they need to get to the back of the line, but then praises the unmasked protesters after the George Floyd riots, that your civil rights come before COVID. There's clearly a double standard, and there's clearly one side that's held in contempt and not the other side, and it's the small business owners who keep our economy going. when the media and the Democrats demand that we keep paying people money not to go back to work, and it's the small businesses suffering and closing, your favorite restaurant goes out of business, your favorite barbershop, your favorite small business can't stay in business because people aren't showing up to work, and somehow it's the employers, not the employees, who are to blame. That's not sustainable. When the local school board won't even hear parental complaints about them going woke, about them telling kids if they're white, they're oppressors, and if they're black, they're always going to be oppressed. Where I live in Georgia, there are two big counties, and one is Republican-leaning, Forsyth County. The other is trending Democrat, but they've both embraced critical theory. And one of them, Forsyth County, had the audacity to change the name from critical theory to diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's the same damn thing. But now they can say with a straight, well, we're not teaching critical theory. We're just teaching diversity, equity, and inclusion. Who could be opposed to that? You're teaching critical theory and you just changed the name and you think we're too stupid to understand. And but I use them as an example because they're close to home, but this is happening across the nation. It's like with Common Core. With Common Core, there was this situation where cities and states didn't abandon Common Core. They just changed the names. Well, we're not teaching Common Core. We're teaching Constitutional Core. Who could be opposed to that? No, you idiots. We know what you're doing. You think we're too stupid to know. And it provokes civic discord. At some point, the elected officials of the country have to understand they are beholden to the voters. And they have to stop patting them on the head and ignoring them. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez showed up at the Met Gala with a dress that says tax the rich. She was fawned over by everyone. It's like $30,000 to go to the Met Gala. It is the richest of the rich. And they are behaving like Marxist caricatures of capitalists with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez there, them all fawning over her when she wants to take their money. She was the only honest person there. People on the right are mocking her for going, but you know, this is a woman who really has the convictions of a communist. She's opposed to getting rid of the salt or bringing back the salt deduction. The salt deduction is the deduction for people who live in high tax states like California, New York. Rich people who live in blue states are allowed to deduct their state and local taxes, salt, state and local taxes. The Republicans capped salt at like $40,000. Alexandria Ocasio wants to get rid of the cap altogether, and she wants to continue to tax. But the major progressive leaders in Congress, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they want to bring back the salt deduction, the unlimited salt deduction. They're telling you they want to tax the rich while also giving the rich people in blue states a major exemption. And they think you're too stupid to catch on. At least she's honest. It was funny to see her, the commie, go to the Met Gala last night, wear a dress called Tax the Rich, and all the rich people are head-patting her, saying how sweet she is, how great she is, what an activist she is. When the revolution comes and they're against the wall, she'll be the one ordering fire. She's a true believer. They're not. They're the caricatures of capitalists the Marxists knew that would undermine capitalism, hanging out with a real Marxist who really does want to take their money. And the right was laughing at her. What the right should have been doing is laughing at the rich people who invited her because she's the one who's coming for them. And they're too stupid to realize it. The elite in this country now live in bubbles. At the Met Gala last night, it was a bunch of well-to-do rich people not wearing masks. You, however, your kindergartner walking down the street in New York City better have a mask on or else, buddy, you're going to get child services after you. In California, the whole impetus of the recall was Gavin Newsom forcing everyone to stay home while he was going out at night to fancy restaurants, forcing every kid in California to wear a mask while his kids were at summer camp not wearing masks. It was a hypocritical double standard that people got upset about. The elite in this country do not like you. It is more and more clear. They think you're the hicks and rubes who must be governed and are yet ungovernable. And when the elite, and the political elite in particular, and the media elite, hold you in contempt when you hold the votes, things don't end well for them, or frankly for you, unless we again start actually showing each other some grace and respect each other. But right now, it looks like we're headed to a very bad place in this country, because the government would prefer a different people, and the people certainly prefer a different government. And all of that comes to a head in November of next year in the midterms. I wouldn't say I'm a chair snob, but I kind of am a chair snob. Y'all, I sit for 3 hours for radio, and then all the writing and stuff I do. I'm in my chair in my office a lot, and I bought one of those super expensive Herman Miller chairs, and I've traded it in for my X chair. The moment I sat down and it began to massage my back, I thought, this is the chair for me. Yes, my chair, my X chair, gives me a massage. It also can heat up. It can cool down. It's amazing. The massage, the temperature control, it's designed and made exclusively for the X chair. Once you feel the customized support of its patented dynamic variable lumbar, the DVL, they call it, your back will have never been so happy. What you do, go to xchaireric.com now. That's the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com. For $100 off your order, X Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. And I can tell you, as a radio show host who spends a ton of time in my chair, X Chair really does have complete comfort. So again, go to xchaireric.com now. Letter X, the word chair, E-R-I-C-K.com. For $100 off your order, X Chair has a 30-day guarantee, complete comfort. It's xchaireric.com. Take my advice. Get an X Chair. Well, we got some interesting news out. It has hit the Washington Post. It is making waves, and oh my goodness gracious. Robert Costa and Bob Woodward have a new book out called Peril. Let me just read you some of this. This is from the Washington Post. Twice in the final months of the Trump administration, the country's top military officer was so fearful that the president's actions might spark a war with China that he moved urgently to avert armed conflict. In a pair of secret phone calls, General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, assured his Chinese counterpart, General Li Zhuxing of the People's Liberation Army, that the United States would not strike, according to a new book by Washington Post associate editor Bob Woodward and national political reporter Robert Costa. One call took place on October 30th, 2020, 4 days before the election that unseated President Trump, and the other on January 8th, 2021, 2 days after the Capitol siege carried out by his supporters in a quest to cancel the vote. The first call was prompted by Milley's review of intelligence suggesting the Chinese believed the United States was preparing to attack. That belief, the authors write, was based on tensions over military exercises in the South China Sea and deepened by Trump's belligerent rhetoric toward China. General Li, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay, Milley told him. We are not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you. In the book's account, Milley went so far as to pledge he would alert his counterpart in the event of a U.S. attack, stressing the rapport they'd established through a back channel. General Li, you and I have known each other for now 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. What the... General Li, you and I have known each other for 5 years now. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. This is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff telling his Chinese counterpart that the United States chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff would give him a tip-off, a heads-up, if we were to attack. Li took the chairman at his word. In the second call, placed to address Chinese fears about the events of January 6th, Li wasn't as easily assuaged, even after Milley promised him, we are 100% steady, everything's fine, but democracy can be sloppy at times. Li remained rattled, and Milley, who did not relay the conversation to Trump, according to the book, understood why. The chairman, 62 at the time, and chosen by Trump in 2018, believed the president had suffered a mental decline after the election, the authors write, a view he communicated to Nancy Pelosi in a phone call on January 8th. He agreed with her evaluation that Trump was unstable, according to a call transcript, believing that China could lash out if it felt at risk from an unpredictable and vengeful American president. Milley took action. The same day he called the admiral overseeing the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, the military unit responsible for Asia and the Pacific region, and recommended postponing military exercises, and the admiral complied. I realize Milley thinks he was doing the right thing, but his commander-in-chief hadn't ordered him to do those stuff, and he was directly undermining his commander-in-chief. He needs to resign or be fired. Yes, you should text Army to 33777 as we grow a conservative army across the nation that we can unleash on elected officials. It's a lot of fun when we do that. Let's go to the phones. Sherry, in North Carolina, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
My name is Shari Moore, and I live in Moore County, North Carolina. And last night we had our monthly school board meeting, and we have been holding peaceful protests for the last few months, getting with masks and CRT and other issues. Well, they changed the venue of our meeting last night when they heard we were going to have a bigger rally. They changed it to a smaller venue and said that we could not have protests. It was against the law. 100-plus people showed up for the peaceful protest, but they also said they had had a threat, and that was why they were not going to allow people in. When we arrived, there was barricades across the driveway. Their attorney, along with the sheriff's department, decided there was no credible threat, as they had said. So they went into their closed session, came out, went into their open session, called the meeting to order, had a motion to adjourn, a second, and left without any business in open session.
Good grief.
They don't take our calls. They're avoiding our emails. We replaced three of them last election. We're going to replace two more the next coming election. I'm making phone calls daily to people. I'm letting grandparents know that normally wouldn't be involved in the school businesses. I'm letting taxpayers know that normally would not be involved in the school business because they don't have children in school. I'm letting people know what's happening with these schools here.
You know, I'm glad you raised this particular point here because, you know, you pay taxes for the school board, whether you got kids in the school or not. And so you probably need to exercise some control and oversight over the school board. That's wasting your taxpayer dollars implementing stuff like critical theory and be willing to show up at meetings. You may not have kids there, but your Absolutely. Tax dollars are funding it.
Right. Our child goes to a private school, so I don't have one in public schools now. I have in the past. But, yes, my tax dollars pay their salary, buys their property. They're trying to sell property right now without going to market value because of political things to get them votes.
Well,
a lot of things going on in Moore County, but we're not going to take it. We're rising up. We have several groups, the Moore County Quality Parents for Quality Schools, is growing, and we're going to protest every meeting until something's done, until they resign or we can replace them.
Good. Well, keep it up. Now, listen, I hope you'll stick around. Those of you listening on WEEB up in North Carolina, my affiliate up there, or wherever you are, I want you guys to stick around for the third hour. When we get to the top of the hour, if you're listening to it live, it'll be 2:06 p.m. Eastern. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about how you run for office, because I've been getting this question. Every once in a while I talk about this. I used to be a political consultant. Every once in a while I talk about this, and I think it's time to talk about it again. Here's the article. This is from WRAL. In Carthage, North Carolina, the Moore County Board of Education decided to cancel Monday night's meeting after board members received a threatening letter about the school mask policy. The board had planned to meet at 4 p.m. to discuss the current mask mandate, among other topics. The threatening letter, according to board member Robert Levy, said that the person was going to show up at school board members' homes and pressure them to drop the district's mask mandate. They said, "We know where you live." Officials recommended that anyone who wanted to make a public comment would have to walk through a metal detector. As a result of the threat, the board meeting was moved to the district central office, where there will be a heightened police presence. A group of parents associated with Moore Families for Quality Education gathered outside to protest the district's mask mandate around 4 p.m. The board decided during a closed session meeting at 4 p.m. that they did not give the public valid notice of the location change, and due to that technicality, they'd have to cancel the meeting. The meeting will take place instead on Thursday It's unclear at this time if the meeting would be held at West Pine Elementary or the Moore County Public School District office in Carthage, North Carolina. Officials initially said the protests and demonstrations would not be allowed, but said on Monday the school board and sheriff's office would accommodate for peaceful demonstration before the meeting. So, okay, a couple of things here, breaking down the way the news story presents it. Yes, if you move your meeting under open records laws of the various states, I mean, all states have a very similar law. If you've moved your meeting and you haven't provided enough notice to the public, you got to cancel the meeting because the public's allowed to be there because they are trustees of the taxpayer dime, essentially. And as a result, they get to be there. And if they haven't given you enough notice, they got to shut the meeting down and move it to give you time. But we're seeing this with school boards around the country. And I mean, this is Carthage, North Carolina. It's not like this is a swinging metropolis. And I don't mean that offensively at all. Carthage, North Carolina is not a massive metropolis. The closest would be, I guess, Fayetteville or Raleigh to Carthage. And it's very near Pinehurst. Those of you familiar with the wonderful golf course, I'm too ashamed of my golf skills to ever even desire to play. It's a beautiful area of North Carolina and it's not massive population center. And yet we're seeing these sorts of things happen there. Now I will tell you, and I don't want to provoke an argument with my audience on this one. I think in high schools, there are some areas of the country where maybe a mask mandate is okay. I think at all times, in all cases whatsoever, an elementary school mask mandate is really stupid. Elementary school kids are not major vectors of COVID. High school kids could possibly be. And even then, if the teachers are all vaccinated, I don't understand why we need to do it. Maybe it's the kids spreading it, but I got to tell you, the kids are going to be hanging out after school without a mask on. So might as well let them build up their immunity, I guess. The mask mandates are so anti-science in so many cases. I understand the rationale for a high school mask mandate. There's a growing body of data showing high school kids are getting the Delta variant of COVID, some of whom have long-lasting ramifications. All of them are eligible for a vaccine. Many parents don't think they need to get the vaccine. And in a lot of cases, they're healthy enough. They don't need to. I saw a CNN story the other day. It was infuriating to me. Showed a picture of a girl in the ICU covered in tubes and IVs and all, saying this was a healthy teenager fighting for her life from COVID. And she was morbidly obese, to use the medical term. She was not a healthy teenager. Now, I'm, you know what? I might as well put this on record. I got to lose weight. It's no secret. You look at me on my live cam. I need to lose weight. I've been going to the gym, but you know, your weight really comes from your nutrition. My wife has been on a healthy eating plan. She's lost 45, 50 pounds. She's in fantastic shape. She's coupled that with going to the gym at least 3 times a week. I know I got to do better. I like the beer and pizza diet and I got to change. I'm in my mid 40s now. My metabolism isn't what it used to be, but I am not in the category of people who would be considered morbidly obese. I just need to lose weight. What is one of my chief frustrations with the conversation on COVID right now is that in our society, Western society, we've worked very hard to get rid of so-called fat shaming. That we now have obese supermodels and you're supposed to love yourself. And we tell people if you're overweight, it's okay. No, it's actually not okay. And I'm mindful of it enough with me. I'm going to the gym. I'm trying to get better with eating because it's not really okay for your joints, for your heart, for your lungs, for anything. It's not okay. And yet our society is telling people it doesn't matter how fat you are, as long as you love yourself, it's okay. Well, you know what? You know who doesn't think it's okay? The COVID virus. It doesn't think it's okay. For our news media to be running stories on perfectly healthy teenagers who are clearly morbidly obese, suffering from COVID, and if it can happen to this healthy kid, it can happen to your healthy kid, directly undermines people's trust in the media when they're not willing to be honest about the fact that the kid actually is really fat. And I say this as a fat person, so I have credibility to say it. I actually, last year, one of the few people who actually lost weight during the COVID isolation, because I figured if being overweight can kill you with COVID, then I probably need to do my best until there's a vaccine out there to start losing weight. And I did, and I put some of it back on, but not all of it, thank God. But I still like dessert. You just have to rearrange how you eat. If an unhealthy lifestyle, if comorbidities, keyword there, comorbidities, increase your risk of getting COVID, of dying of COVID, of being hospitalized for COVID, then maybe we could improve our rates instead of forcing a vaccine on people, encouraging people to live a more healthy lifestyle, encourage people to lose weight. It helps, you know, I mean, well, one of the things they're saying right now, the people who want you to get the vaccine is, well, if you haven't got the vaccine, we shouldn't treat you in the hospital because you're taking up hospital beds. Well, maybe we should do that for smokers. Why aren't you shaming the smokers? Why aren't you shaming the morbidly obese people? Why aren't you shaming the people who don't have a gym membership? Why aren't you shaming the people with type 2 diabetes? Why aren't you shaming the people who are out of shape, who live poor lifestyles, who have made poor health decisions? You want to shame people who don't want to get the vaccine, many of whom already had COVID and so probably don't need the vaccine anyway. And then you're going to pat on the head the people who are morbidly obese and say, oh, you're more healthy than me. There's a lot more of you to be healthy. No, you're fat and you need to lose weight. And that'll help you if you get COVID. Reducing your body mass, reducing your fat. And, you know, the whole body mass thing is a scam as well because they're perfectly healthy people who rate too highly on the BMI because they've adjusted it too poorly at the federal government level. But you know a person who is clearly overweight when you see that person, and a lot of those people are being told they're living a healthy lifestyle, and hey, don't you want to be the model on the cover of Sports Illustrated? No. Well, number one, none of us want to see that, and number two, the fact that we're there trying to say this is okay is a problem. It's like the people trying to tell the girls who decided they're boys they're okay. Like, for example, in the MMA, the first transgender MMA star beat the hell out of a woman and won. It was a dude and looked like a dude and was a dude. But we're supposed to say it's the first transgender female. What a fight. Where is this story? I had it pulled up the other day, and it is infuriating to me that we're head patting this sort of stuff and saying this is normal. Apparently the outcome. Yep. Here we go. The outcome of feminism is for women to be beaten in public by men, literally. Elena McLaughlin wins the MMA debut. Elena McLaughlin, this is from the New York Post, the second openly transgender woman to compete in MMA in the United States, won her debut Friday night via submission at the Combate Global Prelims in Miami, Florida. The 38-year-old used a rank naked choke against Celine Provost to end the match 3 minutes, 32 seconds into the second round. McLaughlin, who began her gender transition after leaving the Army Special Forces in 2010, said she hoped to be a pioneer for transgender athletes. I want to pick up the mantle that Fallon put down, McLaughlin told OutSports before the fight, referring to Fallon Fox, who in 2012 became the first transgender woman to fight in MMA. Right now, I'm following in Fallon's footsteps. I'm just another step along the way, and it's my great hope that there are more to follow out there. Now, here's the thing. This is a man. He's had hormone levels tested, according to ESPN, was cleared to fight by the Florida State Boxing Commission, but he's a man, and we're supposed to cheer on this man who's decided to become a woman beating the snot out of another woman. That apparently is the paramount virtue of feminism at this point and of progressive society. We can't call a fat person who's dying of COVID fat. They're healthy. We can't call a man a man. We can't speak truth in society, and how much of us not being able to speak truth is getting us killed from viruses, getting women beat up on the stage for people to cheer for. We've lost our minds as a society across the board when it comes to this, that we can't really speak truth anymore without worrying about getting ourselves canceled. That's absurd. Now, I want you to go out and cancel the bad odor in your house. You might as well clean up your house. You know, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Meat gets rid of not just odors, but mildew, gets rid of bacteria and mold flying around your house. It improves the air quality of your house. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you can get three of these and save $200 by going to EdenPureDeals.com. What you do is you click on my name, Eric Erickson, and you'll see when you click on my name, you'll see you can get three Eden Pure Thunderstorms, save $200, get free shipping. You click through, put it in your cart, and there's a checkout code. That checkout code that you need to use to save the money is Eric3, E-R-I-C-K-3. And miracle of miracles, you will see $200 come off the price, and you'll get free shipping. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, you click on Eric Erickson, you put the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack in your cart, use the discount code ERIC3, save money, clean your air, eliminate the odors. A buddy of mine actually sends me an interesting Twitter thread he put up. I just retweeted it. Nathan Lemer put this up. Let me just read this to you. There is a new paranoia gripping parents that could be as devastating as the anti-vaccine conspiracy theories. We know families who pulled their kids out of Fairfax County, Virginia schools out of fear that no level of mitigation can keep them safe. They have been convinced by clickbait headlines from CNN and the New York Times that their kids are sitting ducks, helpless to COVID. These parents can't afford private school. They don't have time for homeschool. They also don't qualify for virtual-only option because paranoia is not seen by the Fairfax County Public School System as a legitimate option. We need honest and thoughtful discourse based on science and understanding, not the hyperbolic rhetoric so often being thrown around. You know, that is one of the major problems we're dealing with right now, is that the clickbait headline gets traffic. It's unfortunate in these situations that so often it's the clickbait headline that's not really true that gets the traffic, and the fact on the ground, the reality doesn't really matter to the clickbait. That's one of the real problems as the media covers COVID. They want to scare you so you keep tuning in. They don't want to give you the reality. That's unfortunate. Really, really unfortunate.